Thank you very much. It's kind of tough to be here today, as you understand, coming from Detroit, but I'll do my best. I have no commercial interest to declare, and our focus on this presentation is looking at resiliency. There's a lot of focus on the negative aspect of stress, and both in any kind of highly stressed exposed groups. And we're looking at the challenge productive stress. What can we learn from that model? And it's both a biological framework and a socio-psychological framework. Is there anything we can learn that we can also adapt to coping, being refugees and integrating into a new society? So the focus is on the left side, how we can mobilize resources and capability. And we've done a lot of work on looking at different kind of models. And here is one model looking at the relationship between pre-migration trauma exposure. And we look at a lot of trauma exposure, both environmental trauma and the Harvard refugee questionnaire trauma exposure. And we see the relationship between the trauma you have as a refugee, before you become a refugee, and actual health is very complex. There's a lot of moderating factors on the way to actually health, which you can modify. So it's not a direct relationship. Well, we know that you can be exposed to trauma, you can develop mental health disorder or behavioral health disorder or somatic health disorder. But it's a lot of intervening variables, and we're trying to target what of these variables could you actually try to intervene before you develop trauma-related disorders. And we've been testing this in different models, and we see that if you look on the left there, you have exposure to stress. And depending on what way you take, as a refugee or any other person highly trauma-exposed, either you can go the top positive cognitive strategies, mobilizing social support, as we heard before. You can actually grow from the trauma exposure, and then your health at the end there on the right improves. But if you take the southern route, you avoid the challenges you had, you use different kinds of substances, you're actually developing worse health. And we see this now, we're doing a couple of studies on exposure therapy in refugees, that mobilizing positive cognitive strategies and going that route and social support actually increase the resiliency. And you can also see physical health increased the resiliency. So this, our background is, and we heard before, that you know, the war in Iraq, the conflicts in Iraq has been going on for a long, long time, has generated a lot of trauma exposure and also mental health disorder and behavior health disorder related to trauma exposure. And many of the Iraqi refugees resettle in Iraq, in Detroit or Southeast Michigan region. And we've been doing a lot of community outreach work, working with the various kind of resettlement agency when it comes to refugees. And the objective of this specific study is looking at resilience pathways in war and trauma exposed immigrants and refugees, enhancing the model, trying to understand what is the relationship between the exposure to trauma and health outcomes. And then look what kind of possible malleable factors are there. Is there anything we could actually intervene? And we had, as I said, community-based participatory research, which made us available to choose refugees at random within 1 month, which is actually unique. And we could also do a random sample of immigrant controls. And we did Arab language structured interviews. And we also, we didn't just use scales, validated scales, we also used clinical interviews for diagnosis. So we were sure about the mental health status. And this is a just quick view of immigrants versus refugees. And interesting, and remember, this is a random sample, very early, just arriving into the States within 1 month. And what we see is there is no differences in PTSD. Depression actually is more common among immigrants. And I'm going to come back to this. And out of the 5,242 studies on refugees, actually has not been anyone catching people early with the appropriate control groups and using validated scales and interviews. And then we looked at multiple indicator measures. So this is hassles, and everything has been scored now, so higher numbers is better. We looked at family hazards, we looked at employment hassles, we looked at mental health, both interviews and what you find via very kind of validated scales, and somatic health. And this is the overall model. I'm going to break it down. But we looked at the left side, we tried to look at exposure factors or malleable factors, and on the right side, we look at outcomes. So if you look at sociodemographic predictor of positive health, we see that the older a person is, which you could expect, the worse is the health, separated health, but also mental health. Gender, we see that female are doing better, excuse me, male rate higher than female. Female here is the reference group. And education, the higher education in the sample, the more healthy the outcome, both when it comes to self-rated health, mental health, and somatic health. When it comes to behavior predictors, we see that smoking is related to worse self-rated health, worse somatic health. We see that the higher the BMI is, the worse is somatic health. And we see social enrichment. We look at a lot of social enrichment. What is actually the structure you end up in, and how enriched is that social environment you're going to be living in. And we find the more enriched that environment is, the better are the outcome variables, both social support, self-rated health, mental and somatic health. So the social environment, social stimulation, etc., which we know a lot about from other kind of research, is vital for the brain and for epigenetics and for neurogenesis, is very important also in this group for outcomes. When it comes to migration status, and here refugees are one, and the reference population are immigrants. And we see that refugees score higher on acculturation, they score higher on social support, they score higher on mental health, but they score much, much worse on employment. Okay, so this is not what you would expect, right? And the reason mental health is mostly on the depressive side. Depression is more common among immigrants. And of course, now we're following this group over a number of years. We're going to see how it have developed over time. But at least in this predictive one, we don't have any support that match controls really carefully selected in a sample that refugee would be worse off. If anything, the opposite. But employment status, they are much, much worse off. And we know unemployment is a risk factor for future mental health, depression, etc. This is positive health. Employment hassle, the less employment hassle you have, and that's, you know, finding money, transportation, issues we heard about before, the more likely you are to have good acculturation, to be employed, and have social support. Pre-migration trauma, the less you have of that, the better off you are, which is not surprising, of course. But interesting, family hassles relates, the less hassles, the better is your mental health, the better is your somatic health, but the worse is your social support. So the less you rate you have family hassle, it seems that you tap into the social support network less than if you have a lot of hassles. So maybe it is, if a lot of hassles is going on in the family, maybe you turn outside more for finding social support. We're exploring that more now over time. And then migration status, this is malleable predictors. So on the left side are factors we have identified as possible areas you could intervene in. And one is employment hassle. And we know from other research, and we've done prospective research, that unemployment is an extreme important risk factor for change, biological changes, changes in mental health, and changes in social integration. And in refugee research, there has been rather little focus on unemployment per se. And I think that's an important area. How can you strengthen the likelihood of employment success? It's so important for, as you see here, acculturation, but also social support and mental and somatic health. We see that smoking behavior relates to self-rated health. That's nothing strange, but we see it. BMI is related to somatic health. And social enrichment is related to a number of outcomes, both mental health and somatic health. And we think social enrichment, there's a number of reasons why living in a stimulatory environment is going to be a resilience factor in refugees and also immigrants. A lot of support, but that hasn't really been integrated also in interventions. So we think the whole social resiliency model and social enrichment is very interesting to explore further. How can you translate that into actually increasing recovery from trauma exposure? So the conclusion is that newly arrived refugees are in good mental health. Trauma exposure definitely relates to mental and behavioral health disorder, but there are very specific risk and resilience factors for mental and somatic health disorder we can explore further. And it's important to identify resilience versus stress-prone refugees and immigrants. So where are the risk groups, and how can we identify them early, before, and how can we concentrate resources in the high-risk groups instead of spreading resources across all refugee groups? And then we need to develop much better trauma, stress, health disorder models. What is actually the relationship between having a stressor exposure or trauma exposure and health outcome? I don't think we understand enough of that yet. We do know that the majority do not develop trauma-related disorders, but we know very little still about specific risk factor or biological or socio-psychological models. Okay, thank you.